Tonight, take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. That will be our launching spot. We're going to several different scripture passages, which should be on your screen if you don't want to take time to turn to them. But we're going to start at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I just want to share with you a brief message tonight as we approach a new year that I call Read the Bible. Good idea, huh? Yeah. Read the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, we will start at verse 15. Have you got it? Are you ready? Let's take a look at it. Chapter 1, verse 15. Says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." Peter is writing. And he's saying, look, after I'm dead and gone, I want you to be able to remember this stuff. I'm writing this stuff down. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We didn't just make this stuff up, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that voice saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Before I read the next couple of verses, what's he talking about here? Peter is telling about, he's referencing the time when Peter and James and John were taken by Jesus up on what we call the Mount of the Transfiguration, and he got to witness Christ's glory. Christ was transfigured before him, and they saw Moses and Elijah standing there with him, and God spoke audibly from heaven. They got to see Christ in his glory, and they got to hear God speak audibly from heaven. I challenge you sometime, do a little study on times that God's spoken audibly from heaven. It's more times than you might think. And I think that'd be a pretty amazing, awe-inspiring experience. And he's referencing this, and he's saying, but now, verse 19, "But we have also a more sure word of prophecy." More sure than what? More sure than what he experienced on that mount some years ago when he heard God speak audibly from heaven. He says, look, we've got something that is more sure than that. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." What does that mean? Well, verse 20 talks about no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Basically means this. You can't take one verse of Scripture somewhere and you believe it means something that's contrary to the rest of Scripture. Scripture is a whole. It's a unified whole. So it's going to speak of the same thing. And no prophecy, you don't have a right to say, well, I think that verse means this, regardless of what the rest of the Bible says. The Bible is God's Word. And then he tells us in verse 21, the prophecy didn't come by the will of man. Just like he'd previously said, I haven't just been teaching you stuff that I made up in my head. These prophets of old didn't just come up with this stuff, but it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you to think about some questions. What if someone were to ask you, well, you know, you go to church, you say you're a Christian, what is the Bible? That's a pretty big question. What if they were to ask you, well, where'd the Bible come from? And why do you believe what it is and where it came from? Or what if they said, you know, I know you Christians study the Bible and you carry the Bible to church, but what's the Bible all about? And hey, Christian, what do you gain from reading it? What good is it? How would you answer questions like that? Let me get a little more personal. How often do you read the Bible? Recent surveys indicate that roughly a third of evangelical churchgoers, that's us, read the Bible every day. A third. If that holds true, then two-thirds of the folks that I'm looking at don't even read the Bible every day. That's what the surveys say, that roughly a third read the Bible every day. How much do you read when you read it? I say, Brother John, I read the Bible every day. I open that Daily Bread or that other devotional, and it's got one verse there, and I read that, and then I read that devotional. I think a lot of us are spiritually malnourished because we're not really reading the Bible to speak of. Hey, I like devotionals. I got two devotionals I read virtually every day. Devotionals are good. You get a scripture thought and a thought about that, and I think that's just great. But you know, we've got to read the Bible. We've just come through Christmas, and I don't know about you, but most of our families have Christmas traditions that involve family gatherings and FOOD, right? And all of us at this time of the year are thinking, oh man, I gained so many pounds by eating those 14 different desserts at that one meal, and I got to cut back and quit doing that. You know, we're not physically malnourished, but I'm afraid many in our society, most in our society, and many in our churches even, are spiritually malnourished. I think we need to do more reading the Bible. And so let's think a little bit. Start making your way back to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at several different Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. So if you get to Psalms, turn left and go back about three books, and you'll get to Nehemiah. And we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. They're brief, but we're just going to walk our way through the Bible and say, what does God tell us about His Word, and what does He tell us about reading the Bible? And I can't think of anything that could be a more timely reminder as we get ready to start a new year. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions. I already mentioned about, you know, losing weight. Lose weight, exercise more, you know, get to bed earlier, different things like that. We all think of things like that. I don't know how well we do with them, but we think of things like that. Look at chapter 8 of Nehemiah. We studied Nehemiah not that long ago in Sunday school. And look at verse 3. The setting is after some of the folks have returned from Babylonian captivity. They've rebuilt the temple, and Nehemiah is reminding them about reading the Bible. Look at verse 3, and it says, he read, Ezra the priest is reading, and he said, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning for about 10 minutes. From the morning until midday, he read the Bible before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of a few of the people were attentive to the book of the law. All. You get this picture? You've got all these Israelites in Jerusalem, and they're standing there attentive from morning until midday. Not a one of their cell phones went off. Nobody got a text message or a notification that somebody posted something on social media. Oh, yeah, it was before all that stuff. We might be a little bit better if we turn those things off sometimes, huh? So they listened to the reading of God's Word from morning until midday. They devoted lots of time to reading the Bible. Look at verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. There were teachers there who helped the people understand the Word of God. And then look at verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because, look at the rest of that verse, they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Do you realize these people heard and understood the Word of God, and they thought that was a reason to celebrate and to be joyful. And they celebrated. Understanding God's Word is cause for joy and celebration. Hey, let's remember, the God of the universe the one and only true and living God who created all there is and sustains all there is and runs all there is and has a plan and purpose and will work it all out, and the one who sent his son to die on the cross so you and I could have eternal life, that very God is the one who wrote this word and delivered it to us. And you know, I think it is a pretty exciting thing to get to read the word and to understand what God is saying something to us. God is saying something to us. How many times have I heard people say, well, I pray and it just seems like the ceiling is brass and I wish I could hear from God. Hear from God. He's written a whole lot. I know sometimes we need answers to prayer and He gives us those answers. He speaks to our heart and gives us those answers. But He's told us so much in His Word. It's right there for us. Turn over a few books to the book of Psalms and find Psalm 119. I'm going to read Psalm 119 for you. Not really. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is a glorious psalm about the Word of God. But I just want to pick a few highlights of what God tells us in His Word and what He tells us about reading His Word. Psalm 119, are you there? Verse 9. Wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? What's the answer? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God, obeying the word, will cleanse our way. How do we clean up our act? Obey the Bible. Look at verse 11, just two verses down. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Putting God's word into our mind and into our heart keeps us from sin. You've heard the old expression, God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. And that's true. That's very true. Look at verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. He's crying out and asking God to teach him His word. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. For I go on. That's a good thing for you and me to pray. God, incline my heart to your word, and not so much to watching TV or looking at social media. Incline my heart. Give me a desire for your word. Verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, uselessness, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. He's asking God to give me a desire for your word and then to obey it. Turn over to verse 89. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word endures forever. It is unchanging. You know, it's okay if you want to read the Bible out of a modern translation. I consult several often in my study because that the translation of the old Greek or Hebrew into a more of a vernacular that we understand, that can help you. But you know what? God's word has never changed, and it will never change. God's word stands forever. Look at verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He says he loves God's word. He thinks about God's word. You know what picture comes to my mind when I hear that phrase? Oh, how love I thy law. I can picture Bill Sturm standing at this pulpit, and he's got his Bible open, and he's doing like this, and he's talking to us, and he's getting us ready. And it's not just the introduction of the sermon, and he's not just smoothing out his pages. I've watched him do it. He's rubbing the Bible lovingly. Oh, how I love thy law. God, give us a love for your word. Wow. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, as I am growing older, and Dr. Mark tells me we need to think about cataract surgery in a few years, I really like light. Turn on all the lights. Give me 1,000-watt bulbs. I like that light. I like to be able to see. I don't like being in a semi-dark room. And I'm getting to that point, folks, where I don't really want to drive when it's dark. I like the light. When we need to know God's way, when we need to know the next step to the take, we need His light. And He says, your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Wow, God's word is just so amazing. Turn over to the New Testament, to the book of John, and find chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. This is Jesus speaking, and He says, what are the first three words? Search the Scriptures. He says, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. I like that. That's just a plain out command, an instruction. Search the Scriptures. Look at the Bible. You know, one of the best things can happen to you or me, any of us, say, what does the Bible say about, you fill in the blank, and then you go looking in your concordance, and you go searching around, maybe ask some folks, and you find what the Bible says about that particular thing. Or you remember part of this verse, and where is it that it says this? And then you take the time to go look in your concordance, or pull it up on your Bible app, or your computer program, or whatever, and find where that is. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. See, I told you we were just going to walk through several of these. We're already in the New Testament, so hey, moving right along. Acts chapter 17. Paul has been in Thessalonica, and there was trouble there. There was problem, and the brethren sent Paul out of town. And it says in verse 10, Acts chapter 17, I'll give you a minute to get there. Acts chapter 17. And the brethren, verse 10, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, another town, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. But look at what they say about the Jews in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And what did they do? They searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Some of these Jews in Thessalonica just rejected Paul and basically kicked him out. And for his safety, the brethren got him out, took him to Berea. What did these Jews in Berea? He went to the synagogue. And what did the Jews in Berea do when he talked to them about Jesus? And let's see, what did he preach to them about Jesus from? The Old Testament. That's all he had, right? So he's preaching to them about Jesus. And what are these Bereans doing? They are searching the Scriptures and saying, boy, is that right? Is that true? Look at what he said. That makes sense. They're looking at the Scripture for themselves to confirm what the preacher is saying to them. A wonderful idea. So the Bereans were commended for searching the Scriptures. Keep a going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, there are folks in our modern day, there are preachers and teachers in our modern day that are actually telling their followers they don't need the Old Testament anymore. They use words like, we need to get unhitched from the Old Testament and leave it behind and move on ahead. But you know, the Bible has something really special to say about the Old Testament. The Old Testament has things to teach us. Now, we're not supposed to go back into the Old Testament law and rituals, of course. But look in 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 11. In chapter 10, I'm not going to read it, but he's talking about the Jews who passed through the Red Sea and they followed the cloud of by night and the pillar of fire by day and all these different, some of them were idolaters, some of them were fornicators. God killed some of them. But look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for, the King James word is examples. It means examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So when you look at the Old Testament and you read about Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you read about these Old Testament characters and some of them who messed up terribly, and you think, man, why would God even write that stuff in the Bible? There's the answer. These things happened to them. They were real life people, but they happened to them, and God wrote them down for examples for us and for our admonition, so we could learn. The Old Testament was written for example and instruction for us. So I don't ever discount the Old Testament. The Old Testament has great value, and it's the basis upon which the New Testament came. And as I said earlier, all of those apostles, when they started preaching the Old Testament. That's all they had. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And remember, in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to his young protege, a young pastor, and he's giving him advice and counsel. And he says, for instance, in verse 12, we're going to read verse 13, but he says, don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example unto the believers in word and conversation and charity. Live like a believer and be an example. And then look at what he says in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to what? Reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. He says, give attendance to it. Give attention to it. Make time. He's really saying, you make time to read the Bible. And you read it to your people, and you exhort your people, and you teach them doctrine. So make time to read the Bible. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. You could probably quote it. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's talking about studying the Bible. Study the word. Spend some time digging in there and finding out what it says. Why? So you can be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be out here in the public square and somebody asks you a question about the Bible and you have no clue whatsoever. Now, there's going to be some obscure. There's going to be some people that ask you obscure, silly questions that don't matter. But when somebody asks a question about the Bible, are you ready with some kind of an answer? If you're not, be ready with this answer. You know, I don't know, but I'm going to find out and get back to you, and then do it. So he says, study the Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there are lots of false cults in our day, and it always kind of amazes me. We really haven't heard about any big ones in the last few years, but we have in my lifetime numerous times where some cult rises, and this cult leader arises, and he gets all these people who follow him, and they do crazy, stupid things. Do you remember when Halley's Comet came the last time? That might have been 20 years ago. I don't remember. But you remember there was that cult, and they thought that aliens were going to take them away on Halley's Comet. And they did this really dignified thing. They all laid on their cots and tied plastic bags over their head and suffocated themselves so the aliens could take... Isn't that a great way to go? And, you know, you think about Jim Jones at Jonestown. Let's have everybody drink the Kool-Aid and everybody die in a mass suicide. And David Koresh and the Branch Davidian thing out in Texas. There's always crazies that come along and people follow them. And invariably the crazies will tell you that they are Jesus Christ and they know more about the Bible than anybody else, and they'll tell you things that are just plain patently wrong. And if people knew the Bible, they wouldn't get sucked into it. But it happens all the time. I used to hear one of the best ways to get rich is to start a religion. I don't know if that's still true. People don't care that much about religion anymore, but it used to be that way. So study the Bible. Study the Word. Learn what it has to say. And then look at chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Very familiar verses. It says, all Scripture is given, how? By inspiration of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. And it is profitable. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And those four words, doctrine means teaching. The Scripture is profitable. It is good. It is beneficial for teaching you the truth. And then it's good for reproof. And reproof means you're out of line. Get back in line. Correction means how do you get in line? And then instruction in righteousness, how do you go on walking right and living right? After you've gotten back in line. So the Bible is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that, whenever you see the word that, it's a purpose clause. That the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, throughly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable. And when you take it to heart, you can become mature in the faith and furnished unto all good works. Think about Jesus' ministry. I did another search this afternoon related to this about reading the Scripture. Think about how many times people came to Jesus with a question or problems, and he said this, "Have you not read in the Scriptures? Know you not that the Scriptures say?" It's numerous times in all the Gospels that people came to him with problems, and what he say? You mean you haven't read that in the Bible? Don't you know that's in the Bible? So Jesus, once again, is reminding people, read the Bible. So let me ask you, what's your plan? What's your plan for reading the Bible? We make plans for everything. We plan our day. We plan our week. We make plans for the new year. What are your plans when you leave church tonight? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to walk out in the parking lot. We'll find you standing out there in the morning, right? You got no plans? You got plans. You're going to go home, or you're going to go somewhere to eat. Maybe you're going to go fellowship with friends or something. You got plans. For tonight, what are your plans for tomorrow? I dare say you've got some plans for tomorrow. I don't know, Brother John. I'll just wake up when my eyes open and I'll just lay there all day. I don't think so. You got plans. Maybe you've got, maybe you work a job and you've got things that need to get accomplished this week. I'm looking forward to going on the ski retreat with the College and Career Group. That means Monday and Tuesday. I've got some things that need to be done. I've got some plans for this week. Maybe you're planning a trip in the future, or maybe you just have had one or something, maybe over Christmas or something. You made plans for that. You had to make plans to do that. Perhaps you're planning for your retirement. But let me ask you this. What's your plan for reading the Bible? We make plans for everything. I dare say you go to the grocery store with a list. You just wander in there and say, I need some food. I don't know what, but I'm just going to wander around. Oh, that looks good. I don't think you do that. You go to the grocery store with a list. What's your plan for reading the Bible? I hope you have one. It is easy. And please understand, I'm not condemning or rebuking, but it is really easy to fall into a habit of maybe, like I said, reading a devotion or two, or maybe just reading a chapter, and you don't really know where you're going to be reading tomorrow. What's your plan? Maybe you're reading through a book of the Bible. That's a good thing. You know, our Sunday School Quarterly includes a daily Bible reading guide. And most every week, that daily Bible reading guide on Monday has you read the chapter you're going to study the coming Sunday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday as you read some other chapter that relates to it. Oftentimes there's a memory verse on Thursday, and then come Saturday you read that chapter again and do your lesson, and you're ready for Sunday school. Now that's a plan, and it'll get you reading a good portion of the Bible, but it's not a plan to read through the Bible. Have you ever read larger portions of the Bible at one sitting? Just sit down. I remember hearing John MacArthur share his testimony about when he first got saved. And I think his father or somebody told him, read 1 John. And he said, so I read 1 John. It's only, you know, just a few chapters, 5 chapters. It's not that long. We've been studying it in Sunday school, but you can sit down and read it in 15 or 20 minutes. He said he read 1 John every day for a month. And he said, man, I was just getting so much out of it. I thought, where do I go next? And he thought, I'm not through with this. So he read 1 John again for another month. I don't know how long he did. But reading passages of the Bible, larger portions of the Bible, can be a really, really beneficial thing. And you know, in our Sunday school study plan, we're getting near the end of a study cycle. We're doing 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. We'll do Ezekiel and Daniel in the spring, and in the summer we do Revelation. And then, guess what? We rewind and start all over again at Genesis in the fall. So we're in a study plan, and you know, if you follow that study plan, we'll lead you through the whole Bible in 11 and a half years. You might forget some by the time you get back around to it, you know? I imagine you will. Have you ever read the Bible through, maybe in a year's time? Read the whole Bible. I haven't done that. I've done that a number of times, but I haven't done it in a number of years, and I may just need to do that this year. 2020 is about to start. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you'll read 3 a day, Monday through Friday, and read 4 on Saturday and 4 on Sunday, you'll finish before the end of the year. You'll read through the whole Bible before the end of the year. You can do it a whole lot faster than that. But I just want you to think about that. Maybe this would be the year you might want to read through the Bible. I've looked at some Bible reading plans. I pulled some up online this afternoon even. And there are some that will give you a portion of the Old Testament, a portion of the New Testament, and a portion of the Psalms every day. That's great. I kind of like the idea of just starting at the front and going to the back. You know, if I read a book, I don't generally read a little of this and a little of that and a little of that. I start at one end and go to the end, to the back end. So, but whatever works for you and whatever time, maybe you could just say, okay, I'm going to spend 45 minutes reading the Bible, see how far I go in it. Some chapters are longer, some chapters are shorter. When you hit Psalm 119, if you're reading 3 chapters that day, Psalm 119 will take a while, but one of those other psalms is about 2 verses, so you never know. It might all work out in the end. But I just want you to think about that. What's your plan for reading the Bible today or this year? Do you have a plan? And maybe you need to adopt a plan. Maybe it's as simple as what I said, 3 chapters a day on Monday through Friday and 4 chapters on Saturday and 4 chapters on Sunday. And that'll get you through the entire Bible. And you might be amazed at what you find. You think, man, I hadn't studied that in years. I'd forgot that was in there. It's helpful. I remember one of the most helpful things that I had in seminary was my New Testament, Old Testament, and New Testament overview. And it was fun. I mean, it was loads of fun. I'm being a little facetious. They'd say, read Genesis tonight. We have a test tomorrow. And I was telling one of my daughters this week about that glorious experience. And one of the questions on that test was, what was the name of Abraham's second wife? And I'm thinking, I pushed my eyes over that paper, but I don't remember him ever getting married again. He did. And, you know, some things like that will stick out in your mind when you read some larger portions, and then they test you about it. But, hey, I'm not going to test you, okay? Deal? But I just want to encourage you. Come up with a plan. You can go online. Many of your, you know, if you follow David Jeremiah or Charles Stanley or somebody like that, some of them will put out Bible reading plans. You may have one in your Bible if you got a study Bible. There are many different ways you can do that, but I want to encourage you. This might just be the year. 2020 might be a good year to get better vision on the Bible, huh? Let's get a big picture of what the Bible is all about. Start reading it and keep going. When you get to difficult stuff, ask some questions, find out the answers, and then keep going. And let's just see what the Lord might do in our midst and in our hearts through this year. Well, I encourage you to do just that. This isn't really a message that's about evangelism, but anytime I have the opportunity to share the Word of God, I'm compelled to ask if there's anyone present who does not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to trust Him for salvation right now. What does that mean, Brother John? That means admitting I'm a sinner, realizing I can't do anything to save myself, but Jesus Christ can, and turning away from my sin and putting my faith in Jesus for salvation. So if you need to do that, I encourage you to do that tonight. If you need to join this church, I encourage you to come and request membership in this church. If you need to talk to the Lord and want to come to this altar, do that. If you want to make a commitment to God to reading the Bible more faithfully this year, in whatever manner you want to do it, I encourage you to do that. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the instructions that You give us in Your Word. I pray, dear Lord, that You would work in this time of invitation in any way You see fit to accomplish Your purpose and Your plan. Lord, we often are called people of the book. Maybe we even claim that. Lord, I pray that during this coming year of 2020, we'd really learn more about You from Your Word, and spend more time in it, and devote more of our attention and interest to it. Like the psalmist, Lord, incline our hearts toward Your Word. Give us a love and a desire for it. And then speak to us and teach us through it. And I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to respond in any fashion, this is your time to do just that.